A very warm welcome to the SaaS Business Podcast, specifically for those who run dynamic businesses, are SaaS pension trustees, and have decided to take full control of their personal wealth economy. In the podcast, I share with you how you can understand the power of this high-performance combination of business, SaaS, and wealth generation to create the power, freedom, and choice in your life and creating your multi-generational legacy. I am so passionate about business and SaaS pensions that I wrote a number one Amazon bestseller on the subject, SaaS Pensions, Creating Extraordinary Levels of Compounding Wealth. To find out more about how SaaS can be a game changer in your personal economy, join thousands of SaaS trustees on our Facebook group, SaaS Alliance, and join us at www.saasalliance.org. Now let's get on with the podcast. Very warm welcome to another episode of SaaS Business Podcast, and I'm delighted to welcome a good friend of ours, Bronwyn Verncombe. Welcome, Bronwyn.
Hi, Mark. Glad to be here.
So if you'd like to introduce yourself to our listeners, that would be great.
Yes. Hello, everybody. My name's Bronwyn Verncombe, as Mark's just said. I'm a career banker. I thought I would be continuing to live my life in the world of banking. And I find myself now in sunny Hampshire with a property business. So it's interesting, really. My life has sort of revolved around a career and trying to pay off my mortgage. And now I find myself running a property business and having the freedom to travel around the world. So I live here with my husband. I've got two children, 22 and 26. And having an amazing life now, thanks to property. And of course, SaaS is a big part of that as well.
That's amazing. So how many years were you in the banking community?
Well, 21, which proved extremely good in terms of my defined sort of final salary pension, which I transferred.
So that transition, because I spent 25 years in corporate life and decided I want to spend more time with my children and do other things. How did you handle that transition? Because I know that's something that's of interest to many of our listeners who have been or are looking to transit out of corporate life. How was that experience for you?
Well, for me, it was quite a specific time for me. I had an elderly mother living next door to me, two children, sort of one at uni and one at college, and I never saw my family. I had a very busy job, very senior job, and I just really from Monday to Friday never saw them. And it was when the bank told me that I couldn't draw my pension until I was 67 years old that I thought, my goodness, there's no way I'm going to be working until that point. So my father retired at 55, and it was always my ambition to at least match that. So I thought, well, what other choices have I got? And I started to look at my savings. You know, my husband and I were thinking, right, what's possible? If we liquidated our assets, what could we do? Could we work abroad? We had lots of ideas. And it was really an impulse buy of a flat in Winchester by selling all my shares in Lloyds Bank. I had just scraped enough to pay a deposit on a small flat. And then I bought a couple of books online and started learning about property. I didn't think it would give me enough to replace my corporate income, however. But, you know, when I realized that that was possible, I thought, well, let's get that education, let's learn and see if I can actually do this safely. And within a couple of years, both my husband and I had given up our corporate jobs and started to have more time with our loved ones and then follow our dreams. And that's for later, I think.
Yeah, oh, look, that's absolutely amazing. And thank you for sharing that with us. So you mentioned SaaS earlier on, and I know you've got a SaaS and been very successful. Could you maybe wind back? And was there a point when you remember finding out about SaaS, and how did you become aware of it, and what was your journey like?
Well, I remember very well because, you know, I didn't have a huge amount of money to invest in property. We created our sort of seed fund from our house and released equity. But very soon we ran out of money. So I was always looking for investors and ways of creating value from other people's money. And it was really somebody approached me and said, I would love to invest in your project. I've got a SIP pension. Now, I'd sort of vaguely heard about SIPs. I certainly hadn't heard of SaaS, but at that time, he said, well, I've got a SIP. A SIP allows me to invest in property as long as there's correct security. And so from that point, he introduced me to Kevin Whelan. So this is about 5 years ago now. And I met up with Kevin in Birmingham when I was doing one of my courses, learning programs. And he taught me about how it works. So I borrowed from this gentleman, I think it was £50,000 from his SIP. And I guaranteed his income from that in terms of a loan. And I paid him back the money with the interest. And then, of course, he decided to lend to me again. And it was really opened up my eyes to the possibility of borrowing from SIPs and SASSs. And that was quite a big part of my early years of investing, was actually borrowing from other people. So that was my first lesson. And it was only really when I gave up my corporate job that I really started to think, well, how about if I created my own SaaS? Have I got the time and the knowledge and the headspace really to start to manage that myself? And for me, that was really, I had to have the space to do it because it's another business. And certainly for me, it's my fifth business, my SaaS, and it helps and supports all my other businesses. But I couldn't have done it earlier on because I just didn't have the knowledge and the confidence.
Yeah, there's so many different stories of how people became aware of SaaS. And how many years ago was it when you set your SaaS? Did you say 5 years?
3 years now, because yeah, when I met Kevin, it was 5 years ago, and that's when I was borrowing from other people. And then when I gave up my corporate job, that's when I started it. But yes, I think there weren't many people out there who knew about it. And I felt a little bit cautious because 21 years in Lloyds Bank, you know, for me, that's a big pension fund and a lot of security. But as soon as I really started to understand how a SaaS works and operates, and I knew I had the skills to do it and I could combine it with my husband's pension, I just felt fantastic. This is another business I can run and, of course, create massive value from it. And until I understood that and had the capacity to do it, I just wasn't ready. But now with, you know, all the work you're doing, your book, the SaaS Alliance, all the education that's out there, I'm so excited now that I can help inspire other people. Because when I was starting, there just wasn't that support. That's why I love to share my knowledge.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And that's a great example because we're both setting our SaaSes up in parallel, actually, exactly the same time period. And I know you're very big on due diligence as well. So we were both doing due diligence in isolation, in parallel, not really knowing each other at the time. And it's because of the good work you're doing and all the other members of SaaS Alliance where we're enabling that next breed of SaaS trustee to make the right decisions for them, aren't we? And there's a huge amount of information increasingly becoming available now.
Yes, there is. I think that's one of the lessons I've learned is that, you know, you do need to have a support network around you, no matter what it is. And SaaS is no exception at all. You know, it's hard to do it on your own. You do need to work with other people and make sure you get the best education you can and also have the confidence to do the right thing at the right time. So, you know, the support of other people is vital.
Time is clearly very important to you. You've mentioned that a couple of times, and travel seems to be one of your passions. And I've heard you talk about your story and some of your travels, but could you maybe give some insight into how you use your time now that you've left corporate life?
Yes, of course. The big thing for me and my husband when we started learning about property investing was to have a plan and to think about what your goals are and to look ahead and think, well, what am I going to do once I've achieved my goals? And the goal very much was around creating income, but creating capacity to do other things. You know, I didn't want to create a property business and manage it myself. It was never my aim to create another job. So we put our sort of dream boards together, if you like. My husband had always wanted to sail more. He came down to the South Coast. We're down in Hampshire. He came down to the South Coast to do more sailing, but met me and didn't have a huge amount of time to do and follow his passion. So one of his things on his dream board was to cross an ocean, so sail an ocean on a yacht. and to achieve something he'd always wanted to do. And for me, it was really revolved around wildlife and conservation, giving back to support animal research and to work in and volunteer in that capacity. So we both had our sort of pictures in our mind and on our phones of what that was going to look like. I never really thought that would become a reality very quickly, but within 2 years, yeah, John had signed up to do the Clipper Round the World Yacht Race, which is a quite amazing thing. Now, you know, that's an amateur race. The only amateur race around the world was 12 identical yachts. But when you join up, you get interviewed and you get asked, well, which leg would you like to do out of 13 races altogether around the world? And he came back and he said, well, you know, this is a big daunting thing to do. It costs a lot of money, but it's also quite a big thing, endurance race. Which oceans shall I choose? And he was finding that really difficult. And I just said to him, well, why didn't you do all of it? I can picture his face now. And he was like, do you think that's possible? And I said, well, never say no to something. Always give something your best shot, because you never know. And you don't want to look back and regret something that you didn't do in life. So he said, okay. Now the contract sat on his desk for about 2 months. He didn't sign it because he wasn't sure our business would enable it. And could we raise the £50,000 as it cost to do it? But, you know, it was just another business goal for us. And we achieved that. It was amazing. So, yeah, he signed up to do 17-18 race. It had a start time. So for us, it gave us a real focus. I think otherwise it would have been, well, maybe next year, maybe next year. But because it was going to start in July 2017, then we had a goal. So anyway, long story short, he did circumnavigate. It took 12 months. I followed him around the world. I also did my conservation volunteering in Namibia as well as New Zealand. And I went to every port that his boat went to. I was the only supporter to do that. And it was amazing, amazing experience. Now, he's writing a book about that. I've written a book as well. But for his journey, he's just a third of his way through his book. It's absolutely amazing to relive it with him, because finishing it was tremendous. But to recover from such a journey, it took a long time. And now writing about it is great fun.
I think that's amazing. And isn't it a fantastic example of how one thing leads to another, and that decision to take on such a huge challenge. I mean, how much respect for taking on board just one leg, but doing all 13 over 12 months in those high seas.
I think my children thought he was completely crazy, but they see him in a different light now. We flew them out. We said, wherever you are in the world, and we encouraged them to have their own adventures that year. We said we would fly them to Sydney for Christmas, which is where we were at that time. And they came out and joined us. I've got some amazing pictures that are very emotional for me to have us all together halfway through that journey. You know, sometimes I think, well, we did abandon them for a little while, but, you know, they both grew in that time and have had their own adventures. But yes, as a family, we've realized that there's so much out there that you can do. You just need to create the time and the capacity, really, to follow some of these things that you think maybe one day.
I think most of us, looking back, the regrets we might have are the things that we didn't do, not the things that we did, and to seize that moment, not to procrastinate. I think was it Michael Jordan that said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take? And I wanted to just pick up on your book, because I know following you on social media, you spent a lot of that time during that year starting to write your book and process thoughts, and many congratulations. That was a fantastic launch only a few weeks ago. So tell us about your journey of writing a book. I know as a fellow author, it's not an easy journey sometimes.
It's not easy at all. Now, let me just rewind a bit. So before, when John had signed up to do the Clipper race, we had some time to prepare. We were creating a holiday let out of our home as well. So we had a lot of projects on the go. But one of the big things for me was, if he was going to spend a year doing that, I wasn't sure I was going to be following him, because I didn't know if the business would manage. So I said, well, while you're doing that, I want to create another business. And I created a property education business. And really, the whole point of that for me was that needed to be online. It needed to travel the world with me. And I needed to be able to coach and support people from wherever I might be. So I created online webinars and an online program of learning for people where they can watch modules and then I coach them through Skype and Zoom. So just as we're doing now, we're speaking over Skype. And of course, Zoom is very, very easy to use. I found myself in, you know, New Zealand or South Africa or wherever I was, you know, logging on to Wi-Fi and having a conversation with someone who was building a portfolio in the UK. Now, quite often, they didn't even know where I was at the time. So creating that business for me gave me something I could own, and I just love teaching other people. And I found that because people were inspired by my story, even though I hadn't even traveled the world yet, I needed to help and help other people learn. So with that around the world, I took that around the world. But when I got back, John and I said, well, we want to carry on traveling. He hadn't seen much of the land. He'd seen a lot of sea and a lot of coast and a few ports, but not much of the land. So we both said that, you know, we would like to write about our experiences, but I wanted to put some of my property learning into a book so that that could accompany my education program. So we said, well, where are we going to write our books? Let's go back out to the place that we loved the most when we traveled. And we went back to the Whitsunday Islands in northern Queensland, so near the Barrier Reef. It's absolutely gorgeous there. So we said, right, that's our plan. We came back. We did a little bit more on our property business. We were still doing new deals. And so when we were ready, we flew back out to Australia. We house sat for several months. We had 6 months out there altogether. And wrote our books. You know, it is hard to write a book, but when you're looking out at these beautiful blue seas and enjoying the environment, it was a lot easier, I can tell you. I did use an expert. That's one of the lessons I've learned along my whole journey of learning, is always work with experts. So I had a book coach just to keep me focused, to keep me structured in what I was doing. And I remember Mark talking to you as well, because you'd written your book at that point. And I had a good conversation with you while I was out in the Whitsundays about how you set about doing your book. So I took a lot of learning from other people. And yes, it wasn't easy and there were ups and downs, but I'm getting some great reviews. So I'm very pleased with the outcome, I must admit.
I love the way you take advice, you give support very freely, and we've known each other a long time and you're always willing to impart some fantastic advice to people. And that learning, you've mentioned the word business, and this is a SaaS business podcast, so SaaS and mm-hmm. business. You treat your SaaS as a business. Your book was there as a part of life's passion, but also as part of your business. So I'd like to maybe move on and talk a bit more about your SaaS. And could you maybe share with us some of the things that you've done with your SaaS over recent years?
Yes, of course. The SaaS itself, when I created it, you know, was, as I said, quite a daunting thing for me, was suddenly I had this money sitting in a bank account and I was responsible for investing this. But waiting for the whole process to go through, you know, you have time to think and to work through what you're going to do with it. And my husband and I, you know, it is our joint business. It's what we love doing. So, you know, of course, property was a big part of our life. It had been residential property, but of course, it was becoming much bigger. We were doing much bigger deals. We were looking at commercial property and we were also looking at development. So it came at just the point when we were looking at buying commercial and we were buying bits of land. So we've been able to invest it through a loan back. We can invest it into our sort of property business. The loan back has acted a bit like a bridging loan, I call it. You know, we used to use bridging loans very early on, very, very difficult process that is too, and very expensive. You know, just knowing I could borrow 50% of my pot and use that in my business with the right security, of course, just gave us a whole different perspective and a lot cheaper way of investing it. So that was a big part of our plan, was to do the 50% loan back. And then, of course, investing it with other people. You know, I'm a people person. I love helping people. People helped me along the way. So whilst I borrowed from other people's and still do in my residential business, then I was very, very keen to lend to other people for their deals and to support them. So yeah, it was pretty much do the loan back, lend to other people and not do anything too complicated. For me, it's keeping things fairly straightforward, never going into that gray area, as I know you call it, and doing anything that didn't feel right. And doing my due diligence, of course. I've got good knowledge of property, but of course, I'm still learning and everybody's helping me learn as well. So it's a two-way street. So yeah, SaaS has been fantastic for building my portfolio and to support other people at the same time.
That's brilliant. I've always one of the strongest factors in business is having humility, always learning, and the great community that we're all in, that continuous evolution of thought and learning. And I know you've done a loan back a number of times, and compared to the traditional commercial bridging loans, I'm guessing the loan back, the negotiation between your trust and your business wasn't too complicated.
No, exactly. I think that does work really well. I think it is quite scary, but once you've done it and, you know, you have to make those payments back each year, you have to have a plan. You have to be really disciplined. And it's good. It's really good for a development business to have that. Banks are all very well, but they don't really understand property, I can tell you. They just make your life really difficult and charge you lots of money. You know, I look at it in a very different way now. You know, I used to work for a bank, but now I can act as a bank. And I'm very disciplined with that, you know, with all my investors that still invest with me. You know, I always provide documentation. I always communicate with them regularly. I like to think that I'm still doing what I was taught right from the early days of being very trustworthy and open and honest. It's very important.
I think as SaaS trustees, as a convention, we challenge tradition, we challenge the norms, don't we? And the traditional way of entering a property on, let's say, a bridge, you know, you accept, you have to pay these fees. But actually, if you challenge tradition, there is another way. And the cost that you've saved and others are saving with a loan back, not paying those exorbitant fees, keeping that cost, keeping that precious capital in your own circular economy, I think is incredible. And it's one of those pivotal advantages that we all enjoy.
Mark, it also reduces risk. And the one big issue that we had with a development that's the one that's just finished, actually, building 8 houses, we bought a club. It was like a working man's club, and it was on quite a big footprint in the middle of Andover. And we thought, well, that's fine. We'll get planning for something, and we should be able to get planning permission within 12 months. So in terms of bridging or whatever we were doing, that would be fine. You know, investors, and we get the planning and then we add the value, etc. Well, we didn't get planning for over 2 years for this plot. Now, that is very, very concerning. You know, that wasn't necessarily our fault. There were a lot of issues and political issues involved. And planning is never straightforward. So by being able to do the loan back, it gave us a lot less risk and gave us a lot of confidence to know that we can continue to go to appeal and to get permission, which we then did. So the confidence of doing that and not having to sell quickly, you know, you do have lots of ups and downs in property. It's not straightforward, especially when you start doing bigger deals. The SaaS being there in the background just gave us that comfort to continue. And of course, working with investors as well. Investors stuck with us. I've got investors now who have been with us for 3.5 years on this project, and they are more than happy to continue to invest with us. Yeah, we've just got to sell the 8 houses, then we've got another 6 to build, and it's very exciting times.
Brilliant. So you've done that in 2 phases then, have you?
Yes, we've done phase 1 is 8 houses. Phase 2 will be another 6. You know, it's another planning application to do that second phase.
The loan back, was that over 5 years and you're paying back capital and interest each year?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Okay, excellent. So you mentioned, you know, there can be challenges along the way. What challenges have you seen with maybe your SaaS or other people's SaaS? And what lessons learned would you share with people about having your own SaaS?
I think the biggest issue with us, with our SaaS, was that example where we had delayed planning permission, and we were able to roll over the SaaS a little bit without needing to pay for that first 12 months, you know, and that isn't easy. You have to have the right things in place, and you have to prove to HMRC that you're doing things correctly. But there is no getting away from that. And I do see people just straying into that area where I think, no, it's just not worth it. I don't want to be doing things in the wrong way. And you do see that. And now we've got more discussion around SaaS in the social media. I do see lots of things being said that I'm thinking, no, that's wrong. And it's really frustrating. But you've got to have a really good trustee. And that's what I talk to people about. If you're going to set up a SaaS, you do need to make sure you've got good support around you. You've got a good company that you're working with that will support what you're doing and that have the same values as you. So I often talk to people who perhaps are not getting the best education around what they can and can't do. And they'll ring me up and we'll have a long conversation and I'll end up passing them to my experts for advice. So my lesson to everybody is speak to the right people and don't scrimp on the costs of this. You know, you pay for expertise. And don't think, oh, if I go for the cheap option, it's going to save me money. It won't. You know, you've got to work with the best experts you possibly can and check people out. Do your due diligence. Speak to people like myself. I think I spoke to probably 6 different organizations before I ended up with the company that I'm now with, which is Empowered Pensions. I'm proud to say that, you know, I chose people that I knew and trusted, and I tested lots of other companies out there and it fits with me. But, you know, got to find your own company that, you know, that it fits with your values, and don't just go with the first people that you find or the cheapest.
Yeah, there's so many people trying to nickel and dime it and also living off anecdotes as well. You know, just off sound bites. I get messages all the time through new SaaS Alliance members who are probably trying to apply leading or bleeding edge thinking from maybe traditional property markets out there and trying to apply them in a non-compliant way. And I mean, that's a daily occurrence. So yeah, it's great to be able to help them, keep them on the straight and narrow. And as you say, having a team of great people, great tax advisors, financial advisors, SaaS scheme administrators helps us. And I think well advised is how we'd like to underscore how we operate. I think that's great advice. And some of your successes, could you share some of your successes with your SaaS and maybe some of the thoughts on your future plans?
Well, yes, and it isn't complicated. It really isn't. I do lend to other people, and I've started lending for a little bit longer now. So rather than, you know, just with short-term projects, maybe 12 to 18 months, I am investing now with people that I know well for projects and sort of rolling those over into maybe 3 to 5 years now, which is interesting. And I think it's all about my experience and knowledge. So as you grow in your knowledge, particularly if you're looking at property, you become much more aware of opportunities and risks. Now, of course, you always have to have the right security. That's always black and white. It's not difficult. But in terms of working with people on a longer term basis, then there are opportunities out there where I can do my due diligence and understand that better. So that's hugely rewarding. And I'm talking, you know, much bigger projects. And sometimes that has much bigger returns as well, although I see them sometimes as being less risky, because I know the people really well and the security is really sound. So I think it's a journey. My advice to people when they're starting out is not to do anything that they feel uncomfortable with, but also to get the right education for themselves personally. So I teach property investing. You don't have to invest in your own property. You can lend your SaaS to other people's, but you've got to have enough knowledge to be able to assess their deals, you know, and to know and do your due diligence. So to have enough education to know what questions to ask, to understand what the risks may well be. You know, I do teach people who don't have any intention of creating their own portfolio, but just want to invest in other people's. And that's just as valid to learn with an expert to be able to invest in others as it is doing it yourself. So that's what I advise people really, is go learn about property investing, even if you don't want to do it yourself. But I think you'll find that, you know, as an asset class, it's so good. And, you know, time will tell, of course, through different situations that we will be facing in the UK and globally, you know, whether, you know, bricks and mortar and people need homes, how secure and safe that is.
Great advice. So if people would like to connect with you in the future, Bronwyn, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, you can find me on social media with a name like mine. It's very easy. My company, my training company is called Property Investing Foundation. So you can find my website on www.propertyinvestingfoundation.com. And of course, my book, Building Your Dream Life, that's on Amazon. It's published by Panoma Press. And you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn. I regularly post offers and things on my book on social media. So yes, come and find me. I'm always happy to chat. I have a diary system where you can book half an hour's chat with me for free, of course, because I love to share and inspire other people. And of course, you can help me learn too. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who can give me lots of advice. So it's a two-way street.
Brilliant. And you recorded your book on Audible as well yourself, I believe, so people can listen to the real Bronwyn.
Yes, that's right. It's on ebook. It's on Audible. I had great fun doing that. I highly recommend it, Mark. So I'll get you doing it.
Brilliant. Excellent. Well, I've got another two books that are half written at the moment. So that's going to be a very busy period over the next few months. Bronwyn, hugely appreciate you sharing the wisdom of your years. Thank you so much. On behalf of SaaS Business Podcast, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure.
Are you inspired and want to know more? Well, join our Facebook group, SaaS Alliance, and check out my number one Amazon best-selling book, SaaS Pensions, Creating Extraordinary Levels of Compounding Wealth. You can also check out SaaS Alliance website at www.saasalliance.org. Until next time, thank you for listening.